Good day and welcome to another edition of The Debate, coming your way from Press TV headquarters in Tehran. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Now, in the midst of Saudi's conflicting accounts surrounding the mysterious killing of the Saudi dissident journalists in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, CNN aired CCTV footage it obtained from Turkey. Well, it shows a member of the Hira squad left the consulate through the back door while wearing Khashoggi's clothes and a fake beard. The Saudis changing accounts of his death fueled further worldwide condemnation and pleas for transparency. Now, Ankara is saying that a killing was savagely planned and that President Erdogan will reveal the naked truth about a case on Tuesday. Now, before discussing that issue at length, let's go to our correspondent Rashan Saglam in Istanbul to get the latest twists and turns in the Khashoggi's murder case. Rashan, over to you.
Yes, actually, all eyes will be tomorrow in Istanbul and on the world.
Well, it looks like we have lost contact with our correspondent. We'll try to establish contact, go back to it at a later time, maybe. Now, let me introduce the guests that will be joining us in this debate today. We'll have Carol Gold, who's an author and broadcaster, joining us from London, and historian and journalist Bresh Junkers, joining us from Belgium. Now, let me begin with Carol Gold. Now, newly leaked CCTV video shows a body double of the murdered journalist leave Saudi consulate in Istanbul wearing Khashoggi's clothes. Does this not indicate the fact that his death was premeditated?
Well, it's possible. I think that where the Saudis have gone wrong is that he was wearing the wrong shoes. I shouldn't laugh because there's nothing amusing about this, but whoever was trying to make it appear that he left the building went wrong because the shoes were different. But it's possible this was premeditated. I don't know whether you want to have the aspect that I would have of being an American, but over the past year, President Trump has been attacking journalists and the press every day. Every single day, he's referred to the press and journalists as the enemy of the people. And he has a particular hatred for the Washington Post, which is owned by Jeff Bezos, who was also the owner of Amazon. And Bezos and Trump had a terrible falling out about a year ago. He left the Trump White House. He was an advisor. Not that I in any way am implicating President Trump in this killing, but there is an atmosphere over the past year of hatred of journalists by people in power, not just Trump. 81 journalists have died since the beginning of 2018. So we have a situation in the U.S. where you have a president who last week was praising a congressman for beating up a journalist from Britain, a Guardian journalist, Ben Jacobs. So this is right out of a film or a novel. It's right out of a Frederick Forsyth thriller. But this is a very complex situation because Turkey is involved. Turkey is in delicate negotiations with the U.S. about easing sanctions on Iran because Turkey needs Iranian oil. And the sanctions are going to have to be eased for countries who wish to continue trading with Iran. So there are many levels to this.
Okay, now let's go to Belgium, Bresht Junkers. Turkey has rejected Saudi Arabia's claim that Jamal Khashoggi was killed in a fistfight. Of course, that was one of the accounts that Saudis mentioned. Now, Turkey is saying that this claim is a mockery of the world opinion. Do you agree with this?
Absolutely, it is definitely it's insulting. Let's say to the world at large, and it's insulting to the intelligence of politicians, of journalists, and basically of everyone who consumes news, let's say, who reads news and watches news programs. The assumption that people would believe that a middle-aged middle-aged journalist like Khashoggi were to walk into the Saudi consulate to obtain his divorce papers in order to get a marriage certificate and then ends up fighting with 15 or 18 Saudi consulate members and then somehow ends up accidentally, quote-unquote, accidentally dying is, of course, absolutely ridiculous. And the fact that I've seen it many times, like being mentioned in the past few weeks, that they said, you know, the Saudis have had 2 weeks to come up with an excuse, let's say, with a story to cover up what they did, and this is the best they came up with, which is, of course, absolutely, as I said, absolutely ridiculous. It's insulting to people's intelligence, and I think it sort of shows the arrogance that is so typical of the regime of Mohammed bin Salman, because let's be honest, the Crown Prince MBS is of course the real power behind the throne in Saudi Arabia, and is deep in cooperation with people both in the Trump administration and the Israeli regime, and I believe that his power in Saudi Arabia has become so absolute that his arrogance, so that he believes he can come up with anything he wants to, and hopes to get away with it.
Okay, now let's go to Carol. Carol, the official Saudi narrative is that Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who Bresch is calling as actually the real power in Saudi Arabia, that bin Salman had no knowledge of Khashoggi's murder. Do you buy this narrative?
No, I can see on this debate tonight, I don't think Brecht and I are going to disagree on anything, because whatever he has just said, I agree. This is absurd. The idea that MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, didn't know is absurd. It's an insult to the intelligence of people around the world. What's interesting is that here in Britain, both left and right, people of all political persuasions, and in fact in the United States, Republicans and Democrats, are saying these stories are ridiculous. And I'll get back to what Brecht said about the relationship, the close relationship between the U.S. administration and the Saudi administration, that, yes, he mentioned Israel and the Trump administration. Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of President Trump, is very close with Mohammed bin Salman, and this relationship has gone on for quite some time and is very important to the Trump administration. And as President Trump said the other day, we can't really afford to lose hundreds of billions of dollars in trade deals with Saudi Arabia selling weapons. Yeah. And of course we know what these weapons are going to be used for. There is this dreadful conflict in Yemen, and that goes on and on. So the relationship between bin Salman and the U.S. and Jared Kushner is very important in this issue. But yes, getting back to your question, the fact that he didn't know in advance is absurd. This was a very well-planned operation. This wasn't just something that happened, you know, on the spur of the moment. This was well-planned. Men arriving in two airplanes, apparently 15 men, apparently someone with a bone saw. If someone's going to tell me that on Turkish soil, this was concocted the day before, I'm sorry. And this is where I think Brecht and I are pretty much going to agree on everything tonight.
Yeah. Okay, now let's go to Brecht. The Arab Kingdom claimed that Khashoggi died in a fistfight met international with skepticism, you know, and allegations of a cover-up to absolve the Crown Prince of direct responsibility. Now, what do you think should the international community do in order to shed light on this murder case?
Well, I believe that the Turkish administration, for all its flaws in other political in other parts of international politics, of course, has done a very good job in this regard. Of course, Turkey has its own international and geopolitical interests in weakening Saudi Arabia, but I don't believe that should be any point of criticism in this regard. I think the Turks have done a very good job in trying to really uncover what has happened. They have done quite a lot of work in uncovering all the CCTV footage of the body double. They have been trying to really bring all the information to the light. Now, as for other nations that are not directly involved in this, I believe, especially for, of course, Western nations and Arab nations that have a good or at least, you know, normal cordial relationships with Saudi Arabia, I believe they have a moral obligation to put extra pressure on Saudi Arabia. I believe that was a good signal already that Angela Merkel, the second chancellor of Germany, has threatened. Of course, it's just a threat so far with basically issuing a weapons embargo against Saudi Arabia, that no but German weapons would be given to Saudi Arabia. I think that's a very good start. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a shame. In my opinion, it's a shame that's a sad fact of modern politics, and especially politics in the major centers of power today, that a symbolic case like the murder of one journalist, who, let us remember, was not even that much of an anti-Wahhabi or anti-Saudi Kingdom activist to begin with, was just a relatively minor critic. His criticism was relatively mild, criticism of Saudi Arabia, that unfortunately this is what sets all the hearts in place and makes people in the West stand up, even though 18 million lives are at stake in Yemen, directly, of course, being caused by the genocidal politics of Mohammed bin Salman and the regime of Riyadh. But okay, so be it. If this is what finally is the last straw for the West, for Germany, hopefully my own home country of Belgium, which is also a major weapons exporter, and perhaps we can only, of course, hope and pray that countries like the United Kingdom and the United States will follow suit and start really putting pressure on Saudi Arabia and start basically make an end to this constant 80-year-old already continued support to an absolute monarchy that has actually no place whatsoever in ruling over such a strategically important country that is the Hijaz and Nejd, is the area that we now call Saudi Arabia.
All right, back to London now. Carol, Saudi Foreign Minister Adela Jubeir told Fox News, and he's saying that his country is determined, I'm quoting him, to find out all the facts and punish those responsible for the murder. Is Saudi Arabia qualified to run a probe, given all the lies and cover-ups and false accounts of the case? And on top of that, 2 weeks of silence to start with.
You know, we have a saying in Britain. It's called getting the foxes to guard the chicken coop. So this is an absurd concept that the country that is suspected in this murder is going to be investigating the crime that actually happened on another country's soil. And Brecht is correct that Turkey has handled this very well. But I think that the foreign minister, whom I remember so many years ago when I was based in Washington, was there at the time just after 9/11, and is very good at very smoothly talking to the press and trying to convince everybody that everything's going to be all right. Well, it isn't. And lest we forget, 15 of the 19 9/11 hijackers were Saudi, and at that time there was a quote from bin Laden, lest we forget that the Bush family is also a dynasty. So there are so many elements to this, but I think that these various explanations have been absurd, and wheeling out the foreign minister now is just another example of the absurdity of the situation of the Saudis investigating a crime that happened in their building and outrageously on foreign soil.
Okay, now Brecht, let's turn to President Trump and his reaction. How do you describe Mr. Trump's flip-flopping in this case? You know, there's growing evidence that Jamal Khashoggi was brutally killed in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Turkish officials know this, and they have passed this intelligence to their U.S. counterparts. Mr. Erdogan talked on the phone with Mr. Trump. Now, why does Trump continue to defend the Saudi leadership despite all of this evidence and the information that he has?
Well, it is when you look at President Donald Trump on pretty much anything, really, there is always a lot of flip-flopping going on, a lot of change of hearts going on. What I personally believe is there is a difference which makes President Trump such an interesting, to say the least, personality in U.S. politics, is that he is. That he can speak as two different people at different moments. I believe on moments when he really expresses, especially in the beginning, when he expressed his open doubt, let's say, when he basically was almost calling MBS a liar, That might express actually the things that he himself, as a person and as a human being, let's say, is actually thinking. But then a little bit later, especially when it comes to more official press conference, you'll see Donald Trump speak much more, let's say, diplomatical language and much more language that is much more in line with what Saudi Arabia is saying, in which he says, "Well, we don't know yet. We'll see. We'll work with the Saudis to find out the truth," so to say. I believe that is, of course, Trump speaking as the president. I think sometimes he falls out of his role a little bit, and then the establishment of the military-industrial complex, which is behind this sale of weapons, kind of sets him back on the path that they want him to be. So I think it was very clear when Donald Trump, almost immediately in the second or third time that he was interviewed about it, said, like, yes, okay, we condemn this, but we don't want to endanger the jobs of American workers, so we don't want to get rid of this, I believe, $110 billion deal for arms that we have with Saudi Arabia. So that is the problem, of course, with the United States. You and with many nations, but the United States in particular, you're not just dealing with the president. The president is not even necessarily the most important figure within this establishment. He's the figurehead you speak to, but there is an entire system behind it, and that system definitely does not want to get rid of Mohammed bin Salman, at least not just yet, because with MBS, like Boris Johnson, the United Kingdom Secretary, once said already years ago, that with Mohammed bin Salman, they have the best, the West has the best person in Saudi Arabia that they could have asked for. Unfortunately for them, now he slips up here and there and starts murdering people in consulates in Turkey. But in the end, at the end of the day, the establishment of the imperialist establishment of the West still, I believe, wants to protect him and wants to keep him as one of their own.
Okay, let's go back to London to Carol. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has promised that the details of Khashoggi's killing will be revealed, as he's put it. Now, what do you expect President Recep Tayyip Erdogan to reveal on Tuesday?
Well, it's very possible that tomorrow, Tuesday, the Turkish government will reveal some footage that somehow they managed to obtain, although the building is the Saudi building, so whether they had several employees working in there who could have smuggled out footage is possible.
They do have people there, yes.
He may have some evidence that that could show exactly what happened to Mr. Khashoggi. And I do want to make one point after listening to Breck just now and before. The former American Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld once said, "The American people have a very good center of gravity." Now, it may not be the American people, where we're about to have the November 6th very important elections, probably the most important Congress and Senate elections in 70 or 80 years. They may not be so concerned about the issue that Brecht mentioned, the Saudi obsession with Yemen, which goes back to 1934. But they are, the American people are very upset, both sides of the aisle, about this murder. Americans have a very high regard, for the most part, for journalists. Half the country thinks Trump is right when he says journalists are the enemy of the people. Mm-hmm. But I think a larger half of America feels that journalists are part of the founding fathers' dream of freedom of the press. And I think that this murder has upset many Americans. And if Trump continues to defend the Saudis, whether or not he talks about 600,000 jobs or not, I don't think it's going to impress Americans. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens on November 6th if the Democrats take over Congress and Senate, because it will affect this whole situation. Israel, Saudi Arabia,
exactly.
Turkey, the whole region. There will be a big effect on what happens after November 6th.
Yes, so it's interesting to wait and see. Okay, Brecht, how do you think that the saga of Khashoggi's slaying will end up, finally? What's your prediction?
Well, it's very hard to tell, of course. Indeed, a lot of things depend on what President Erdogan will reveal tomorrow. Although, in the end of the day, of course, we are relatively certain about the fact that the presumed fact that Khashoggi, of course, died, that he was murdered on purpose. What I believe and what I think we'll see is a growing, definitely a growing geopolitical role of Turkey, and a greater appeal in many ways of the Muslim Brotherhood organization, which Enofesh Khashoggi was, after all, a member, and which is a very influential organization in the Middle East that is at this point, interestingly enough, very much at odds with Saudi Arabia, and is basically being considered as one of the number one enemies of the Wahhabi regime and of the Saudi kingdom. So I believe if it turns out that indeed Saudi Arabia is going as far as murdering people like relatively minor critics like Khashoggi on foreign soil, this could definitely influence the balance of power in the Middle East, and things could turn really interesting, especially of course if you know that we know that Turkey has very close relationships and even military ties to Qatar, which is of course also in a very bad relationship with Riyadh nowadays, after Riyadh is trying to basically starve it into submission, and this could basically turn eventually into, let's say, a second power bloc within the Sunni Arab and, well, Turkish and Arab world, in the Sunni world of the Middle East. So I believe this might be a catalyst. It's just one man, of course, but it might be a catalyzing factor that can really start putting the region in motion again.
Okay. Let me put the same question to Carol. Carol, what's your opinion? What will the end of the story be? We have 30 seconds.
I think it's very going to be crucial and crucially significant what Turkey reveals tomorrow. And as Breck said, we could see a balance of power changing if Turkey handles this in a masterful way. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens tomorrow after we hear what Turkey has on evidence on this murder.
All right. Thank you both for joining us on this debate. I should thank our guest, Carol Gould, who was author of Broadcaster, joining us from London, historian journalist, Bryce Junkers, who joined us from Belgium. And thank you for watching this. We'll see you next time.